For several subsequent days, I saw little of Mr. Rochester. In the mornings, he seemed much engaged with business, and in the afternoon, gentlemen from Millcote or the neighbourhood called, and sometimes stayed to dine with him. When his sprain was well enough to admit of horse exercise, he rode out a good deal, probably to return these visits, as he generally did not come back till late at night. During this interval, even Adele was seldom sent for to his presence, and all my acquaintance with him was confined to an occasional rencontre in the hall, on the stairs, or in the gallery, when he would sometimes pass me haughtily and coldly, just acknowledging my presence by a distant nod or a cool glance, and sometimes bow and smile with gentlemanlike affability. His changes of mood did not offend me, because I saw that I had nothing to do with their alteration. The ebb and flow depended on causes quite disconnected with me. One day he had had company to dinner, and had sent for my portfolio, in order, doubtless, to exhibit its contents. The gentleman went away early to attend a public meeting at Millcote, as Mrs. Fairfax informed me, but the night being wet and inclement, Mr. Rochester did not accompany them. Soon after they were gone, he rang the bell. A message came that I and Adele were to go downstairs. I brushed Adele's hair and made her neat, and having ascertained that I was myself in my usual Quaker trim, where there was nothing to retouch, all being too close and plain, braided locks included, to admit of disarrangement, we descended, Adele wondering whether the petit coffre was at length come, for owing to some mistake, its arrival had hitherto been delayed. She was gratified. There it stood, a little carton, on the table when we entered the dining-room. She appeared to know by instinct.
"Ma boîte! Ma boîte!"
exclaimed she, running towards the table.
"Yes, there is your boîte at last. Take it into a corner, you genuine daughter of Paris, and amuse yourself with disemboweling it," said the deep and rather sarcastic voice of Mr. Rochester, proceeding from the depths of an immense easy chair at the fireside. "And mind," he continued, "don't bother me with any details of the anatomical process, or any notice of the condition of the entrails. Let your operations be conducted in silence. Tiens-toi tranquille, enfant. Comprends-tu?"
Adele seemed scarcely to need the warning. She had already retired to a sofa with her treasure, and was busy untying the cord which secured the lid. Having removed this impediment, and lifted certain silvery envelopes of tissue paper, she merely exclaimed,
"Oh, ciel, que c'est beau!"
and then remained absorbed in ecstatic contemplation.